All right, welcome to episode 9 of APS Radio. My name is Jim Bernica. I've got two special guests with me this month. We got Neil McMillan from the Ottawa Firefighters, local 162. Is that right?
You got it.
I finally got it right. And then I used to mess up Sean Mitchell's local all the time, but I'm going to just introduce him as the deputy chief in Nantucket Fire Department now. Congratulations on that.
Thank you, Jim.
So part of the requisite to be on this show today is you had to be bald. So that was number one. So that made it pretty short and simple of who to pick for this. But the whole idea behind today is to discuss the recently released public comments from the NFPA TIA for 1971, which is TIA 1594. And there was a lot there. I mean, we're talking, 223 pages there. You can, if you're watching us, I mean, it's a binder full. 179 comments that were for the TIA, one that was against, and then there was two statements. Now, what did you guys think about when you heard those numbers?
Relieved. It was great. It was, it seemed fantastic that, you know, we were heard, that the message is out there, and as complex and convoluted as the subject of perfluorinated and polyfluorinated substances are, firefighters get it, their families get it, those that are interested in the health of firefighters and communities get it, and I was actually overwhelmed by those numbers, considering how short the period was for public comment and knowing what past results were with NFPA TIA public comment figures.
I think from what we heard, typically a TIA gets anywhere from 2 to maybe 5 or 7 public comments. And so this one reaching 180 is incredible. And I think it's a testament to the hard work of the people who promoted this TIA, but also all of the education and everything that's gone on in the last few years, because as Neil said, people get it and they took the time to put that in writing and submit it to the NFPA. So those numbers are overwhelming, and hopefully the Standards Council takes them into account when they make their decision.
Yeah, this was a pretty short public comment period. Usually it is a little bit longer, but we were late to the game to get this in. So the fact that we got this in a short period, I agree, it speaks a lot to just our team and just all the marketing, because there's individuals that commented on this from really US, Canada. I mean, it was really cool seeing, because we're talking about family members of firefighters. We're talking about state senators. We're talking about a lot of environmental groups. And this isn't just one individual, but actual groups that represent a lot of influence on this stuff are submitting comments. And then we even got locals involved, IFF. I mean, entire states were writing in support of this. And Providence, you know, Ottawa, San Francisco, Portland, Clackamas were some of the larger ones as far as locals go, in states, Illinois, Massachusetts, Ontario, Washington State. It was definitely insane. What were some of the comments or the theme that you saw that stuck out for these comments?
Well, some of the ones that I saw were the ones on both sides, I guess, of the spectrum. There were some very in-depth analytical statements made. One that kind of stood out from the PFAS Project Lab out of Northeastern University, you know, summarizes, a two-page statement by stating that peer-reviewed research shows that the moisture barrier is manufactured using PFAS, which migrates from that moisture barrier and likely contributes to firefighter exposures to PFAS. And they have citations for that as well. And some of those things are pretty powerful, because, you know, there's a number of signatures from that university, including a couple of doctors and doctoral students. And then there's, on the other side of the equation, there's firefighters. There's firefighters who are moms, who are nursing, you know, their young children, who are concerned about their daily occupational exposures to these chemicals that have developmental, you know, cause developmental issues, and all sorts of downstream concerns, for our families. So those ones, to me, kind of really stood out, because it covers the entire gamut. And I think it really paints a great picture for that Standard Council committee when they move forward to have to make an ultimate decision on this TIA.
Sean, was there any, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I agree. It was such a vast array of groups and people, and those 179 in favor, as you said, Jim, represent thousands and thousands of people, firefighters, and the NGOs, and it's more than just the one person who submitted it, even though that person's name may be on it. So yeah, I mean, I think it was overwhelming. It was great to see that it wasn't just from one specific area, one group, one lobby. It's from everybody, from researchers and scientists who dedicate their lives to PFAS, to the everyday firefighter who just has to wear the gear and doesn't want to wear gear with these chemicals anymore.
And these comments were, I mean, definitely, you had your just simple, like, I support the TIA, let's get rid of these chemicals, to, like Neil said, full blown out scientific research, this is where we're at, and everything in between. A lot of personal stories are within these comments. Firefighters that have had cancer, firefighters that, you know, our friend Brian, his story about not being able to have children. A lot of people worried about their children, or not just having children, but being around for their children. It was a lot of personal deep stuff. I know that just reading the stuff, you can't help, at least I couldn't help, but get emotional reading it. I don't know if you guys felt the same way.
Yeah, absolutely. Some of the stories really put things into perspective. One person's comments with, at least let firefighters who have to wear this, equipment choose the type of suicide they choose, whether it's exposures to fire toxins or the stuff that's put in our gear, but let us choose. And NFPA, your job is to kind of protect us. And at the very least, you should be listening to, our concerns and our opinions on the subject. And then others are very introspective. There's a gentleman from the Green Science Policy Institute that made a comment referencing a lot of the legislative changes, both, at state levels and provincial levels, where these chemicals are being banned and being regulated. And, asking the question of, why isn't NFPA getting ahead of the ball and getting ahead of these chemicals being outright, banned from use? Should we not be allowing for alternatives to be asked for and to be developed and to be options? So, but yeah, very hard hitting, a lot of them. So I spent a couple hours reviewing them, and they left us or left me with a lot to think about.
I know one of the ones that I wrote down, I'm going to read it, if you bear with me, audience, but it was from Matt Alba. He was a San Francisco firefighter, part of their firefighter cancer prevention organization. And he wrote, and I think why this spoke to me is because I felt very similar. And I think I've even said very similar things to this, but he wrote, I always assumed I would get cancer. It's simply a numbers game. The odds are not in my favor. Throughout my career, I have been losing my coworkers to this insidious disease again and again. It's time to make a change in the right direction. It's time to stop poisoning our brothers and sisters with our safety equipment. It's time to amend NFPA 1971. And that echoed my thoughts, and kind of my comment was similar to that. I actually looked up the mission statement of the NFPA, and I broke it down that way. The mission statement for the NFPA is to help save lives and reduce loss with information, knowledge, and passion. And I wrote, the information and the knowledge regarding these chemicals have been readily available. I just hope you all find a passion to do the right thing. That's all we're asking, is do the right thing. It's too far gone to keep ignoring this and acting like it's not there. Something needs to be done. You guys agree, I imagine.
Absolutely. I think the days of saying we need more research, we need more studies, it's inconclusive, those days are over. There's plenty of research there. We just have to hope that the NFPA actually follows that mission statement, because if they had been up to now, we wouldn't be here discussing this. So that's why those public comments are so important, because it shows that it's not just coming from one or two people or one or two groups. This is from all across the United States and Canada and elsewhere, trying to push this message that enough is enough. We know enough about it. So it's very simple. We're not even saying ban PFAS. We're just saying remove this test that none of you, by the way, can even justify why the test is there. The people on the committee don't know. And so remove it and give us the choice. It's pretty simple.
Yeah, now NFPA will tell you that they're just a governing father. You know, the committee who is made up of users and manufacturers and researchers, that they're the ones that decide the standards and the policy. The problem with that, of course, is being that, you know, and they say that no side has more influence than the other. But out of that comes, I think, a pretty direct conflict of interest. So you're finally getting to what's considered to be the standard council, the gurus, the head of the whole thing. And they finally are going to have this choice to make a decision based off of all this information. And I'm sure it's going to be quite an overload compared to what they're used to, because I don't think they haven't seen anything like this in a long, long time, ever since, I believe, the 4-man staffing standard. Is that 1003, I think? But, you know, they haven't had the numbers of comments like this. So the question is, do you think that they're going to be able to look at all this and realize that there's something up here, they need to do something about this? Do you think we did enough in a short amount of time? What's your thoughts, your personal thoughts going into this vote coming up, which is probably going to be on August 25th?
I think so. I think what these public comments show is that, you know, the message that's been proliferated by the few, you know, the people that have really spearheaded this, you know, like yourself, Jim, like some of these other groups, like our general president, you know, it really validates that. And these are, a lot of those things are summed up in a lot of the public comments. You know, I think one that kind of speaks to that is, you know, Representative Dacia Graber for the Oregon State Legislature, who's a 20-year firefighter. As well, you know, saying that this light test, you know, is not based on good science. You know, the PFAS that firefighters are being exposed to, you know, are linked to a number of illnesses, not just cancer, but, you know, hormone suppression, liver damage, thyroid disease, fertility issues, obesity, you know, other metabolic and cardiovascular diseases and developmental issues. And, you know, it's time for NFPA, you know, to step up and really take into account, you know, what the fire service needs, what these standards really require, and what should be allowed as far as what firefighters should be looking for, considering as far as safer alternatives to what's currently available and what we're limited to under these current standards.
So let's touch on what's actually next. So these just came out on Friday, the 13th. And we have 5 days from that to appeal the vote. Because also with the comments, we had an updated vote, which stayed pretty close to what it was. There wasn't really a whole lot of movement on that. It's still, as far as the standards go and what needs to pass, it still ended up failing. But it now goes again to a hearing, which will happen probably, I've been told, August 25th. The IAFF is going to be putting in an appeal, and we're going to have 10 minutes to discuss this in front of the council. And the IAFF is going to take up kind of the reins on that project. And who knows if anybody is going to be speaking on the other side. Not really sure how that's going to work. But we know, at least going into this, that the IFF is going to put in the appeal. They're going to talk about it. And on August 25th, the Standard Council is going to hear it. There's 13 of those members. And from there, they'll make a decision. And they've made decisions in the past, even if it didn't pass the standard or the actual committee. They've gone the other way before. So we definitely have a shot at this. The public comments, I think, speak for themselves. But it's going to be all up to this committee. And unfortunately, this committee is, it's not very transparent. You know, what they are going to discuss and how they discuss it. We're not going to get all that background. We're not going to get any constructive criticism. We're just going to be told yes or no. And that's the, I don't know. I wish it was more transparent, but it's not. This, that's just the NFPA system for you. So if you had, let's kind of sum it up. I wanted, again, just to kind of keep everybody up to date with what's been going on. This has been a whole entire process. We've now got these comments. We got a lot of the comments, and it's going to be up to the Standard Council. So kind of sum it up. What's that at this point? What do you think the Standard Council should do? And then we'll get you guys out of here, because I know we're taping this on a early Sunday afternoon.
Well, you know, I think the Standards Council hopefully has educated themselves on the issue prior to their hearing, and I think they should take into account the public comments. Unlike Neil, I have zero faith that they will do that, because Jim, as you said, it's a pretty, this process has been described as murky, and it seems like it's that way by design. And so I just don't really have much faith that they're going to listen to us. But another point I just want to make, you mentioned the votes of the technical committee, or there's been two votes now. And to anybody who submitted a comment most likely received an email from the NFPA saying that it, the TIA has failed the technical committee vote as well as the vote of the correlating committee. And I think some people were maybe surprised or shocked by that, because it seems like such a no-brainer. But those people shouldn't be discouraged, because I think that was probably, by many of us, that was expected, that this would not pass technical committee or the correlating committee vote, which is sort of what is what leads me to believe that the Standards Council, you know, if these people on the technical committee are supposed to be the structural turnout gear experts, and some of them are, but some of them have admitted that they didn't know anything about the PFAS issue. Some of them, you know, and these are not industry people. These are people who represent Cancer Foundation. Somebody who represents labor was on a call telling people that newer PFAS like C6 are safe, and that PFAS are used in medical devices, so they must be safe. He's getting that information from the industry, most likely. But he's supposed to be an expert, and unfortunately, he doesn't know what he's talking about. And that's the type of person who has a vote, a very important vote, and both of those people voted against it. So the votes of the technical committee were not a surprise. I just hope that we've done enough and with the public comment, and hopefully the testimony, if they're going to actually listen to the testimony when that time comes, even though it's only 10 minutes, hopefully they will act in good faith.
Neil, what do you think?
Yeah, I don't disagree with anything that Sean said there. It's true. I mean, you know, I'm a firefighter, you're a firefighter, Sean's a firefighter, and we're asked now to try to delve into subjects that people specialize in for years to get an understanding of. And we have to do it because, you know, we're immersed in these toxic chemicals. And the people that have voted on that technical committee are similar. Some of these people represent maintenance companies, manufacturers, you know, other service providers, and they don't have a background in this area yet. You know, it's their decision that's going to be influencing the Standards Council. That said, the science does speak for itself. So if somebody is in that position to make the decision on behalf of all firefighters in North America, my hope is that they will recognize what true unbiased science says about this subject. And I mean, we're firefighters. The general president, Ed Kelly, has said it many times, you know, we risk our lives for strangers, and, you know, we are going to be doing all we can to protect the lives of each other, our brothers and sisters. We're loyal to a fault. We have long memories, and you know what? We won't forget, and we will judge people, you know, that don't put firefighter safety first. And, you know, I don't believe that the NFPA, you know, Standards Council is oblivious to that fact. So, you know, I hope that helps, you know, them remain subjective, in their decision making and keep some of that excess static from manufacturers and industry out of the equation.
Exactly. You know, and I would just sum it up as simple as this is all about starting the process to get a safe alternative. Right now, the manufacturers have no incentive because they have to fall within the rules of this standard. And by simply removing this standard, now all of a sudden they have incentive and they can start to research and develop alternatives that we can use instead of these harmful chemicals. And it's not going to be something that happens overnight. None of us believe that. And we certainly don't want to put in a regrettable substitution, which we heard over and over again. And we don't want to have individuals where it's now all of a sudden they're having cardiac issues because they're too hot or they get steam burns. That's not the intent of this. But until this test is removed, we're not going to have an opportunity to have an alternative. And we're going to continue to have these chemicals within our gear, which we know as soon as they're delivered to us, they're good for 10 more years. So this goes on and on and on. And the whole idea is to stop the bleeding, just to cut this off at some point. And that's what this TIA does. It's and this is us, just us working within this whole setup of the NFPA and trying to get it done. If there was a different way to do this that still had the results, we would have done that instead. But this was the smoothest transaction to get to our end goal, which was to have something else in place and just stop these chemicals from being in our gear. So I hope they see the light. I hope they understand that. We're not trying to harm firefighters. We're trying to help firefighters. And we're going through their process, their convoluted process, to try to fix this the best we can. So with that, you guys have anything else to add?
Just a thanks to everybody who took the time to submit a public comment. And just know that those do matter. And that even if this doesn't go the way we hope it does, this will just be the beginning, and you will have many more chances to have your voices heard, because we'll be back again.
Absolutely valid. We're all three of us are part of a 1971 hazardous substance toxic group, and I think we're not stopping. We're going to keep on them until we do have an alternative. But this was, I think, our first shot at it. And I think the hope is that this works, because I think all of us are ready to move the hell on. Am I right?
Yeah, and that's a good point. So even if you're not interested in joining a technical committee, there are these task groups that have sort of broken out from the technical committee. And as you said, we're on one that is looking at PFAS and other toxic substances. The problem with it is heavily, heavily represented by industry, and we need firefighters. So anybody out there who is passionate about this, get in contact with us or with the NFPA 1971 committee and ask to be on that task group. So that's a great way to have your voice heard.
Absolutely. Because that task group. Yeah, go ahead, Neil.
No. All I can add is that, you know, keep the conversations going. You know, keep them going at the kitchen tables, at the stations. Keep them going with your occupational health and safety committees, with your employer. All of that. As long as we maintain, discussions on the subject, we're going to be able to shed more light and cast out some of these harmful, unnecessary exposures that we're discussing. So, you know, as Sean said, every public comment counts. Every discussion, you know, just enlightening ourselves as firefighters on some of these complex issues, you know, is helping move the ball further down the field.
It's in a way, and I think Sean feels this way ever since the resolutions, and we've really put these chemicals on the map, and we've really made a stand that we're just not going to tolerate it. So even if this TIA doesn't fail, or if it fails, we know that there's still open comment for the new 1970, which is what 1971 is going to turn into. And that's going to be up until November. So we can, again, comment, do basically the same thing we just did, but point direction to the committee and we can have those numbers to where, again, they can't ignore us. They have to do something about that. And we'll be able to give direction to the committee to get rid of that. You guys are smiling. You're like, yeah, Jim, you're full of shit.
No, sorry. I had a 7-year-old bust in behind me.
Oh, I didn't even see her. All right. Well, with that, I'll tell you what, I'll let you guys get back to your Sunday afternoon. Again, the hearing should be the 25th, and I'm not really sure how long it takes to get the results back, but hopefully here soon we'll know where we stand regarding this TIA. And thanks again for everybody who wrote and all our entire team, all the Avengers that came together to really just fight for what's right. So he's Sean, he's Neil, I'm Jim, and we're going to enjoy our day. So take care.